Welcome into the Tim McAuliffe studio here at Sportsnet. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. It's the Real Kipper and Bourne Show, National Edition. We are live on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, and Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. This hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. Okay, out of the gate, let's welcome in Keith Jones. We got Keith Jones, Sammy?
I don't think he's...
I'm so excited. Oh, and he's not on the show yet.
Oh, we usually do 5 minutes off the top on the national hour here, as we've done for most of the days of the full season.
All right. Just a little anxious.
Well, yeah, I mean, I heard him say Jonesy's on the phone, and I thought he meant
that's what I thought.
But he means he's on the phone, not Zoom. Yes.
Hey, classic miscommunication.
You understand
boys.
Me now.
Yeah, I got you, pal.
You speak...
I speak Kippanese.
Welcome to the Real
you
Kipper
said
show.
We've got him on the phone.
Yes, yeah. And I meant that we usually like our guests be Zoom, but we made an exception for the president of the Philadelphia Flyers, which is a very big deal, and one of our favorite guests that we can't have on anymore, just like talk it. And like you were saying with Doug McLean, should go be with the Blue Jackets. We lose three of our favorite guests.
Okay,
no more.
So
I love that our show's been around long enough that we have marital spats on air now. This is a very marital
Okay, so go. You got 5 minutes. Tell us anything you want. I'm just waiting for Jonesy.
I'll tell you something.
Oh, let me have it.
Sam and I have a proposal for you on Thursday for the show, which is we just call all of the show's friends. We call Doug. We'll call...
Oh, it's our last show before the Christmas break.
Thursday's our last one. We just do a little Christmas party and we call all our friends. What do you think?
They call me, I show up.
And that's who we would call. We call
him.
Colbs.
All for it.
We call like Valerie.
That. You two can make so many calls that I'll stay home and listen to the show.
I used to, when I was working away on the weekends with my good friend Ben Ennis, I think for 2 or 3 years in a row, we did the Super Bowl show and we would just call all our friends. We would do a 4-hour show, and it would just be a full of 20 guests. We just call people and say what they're doing for the game or whatever. So I thought we should do a Christmas party edition and just call everybody.
Sounds lovely.
I remember you used to do that. Like, I remember listening to one Hockey Central at noon where it was you and Millard, and you guys were just talking to everybody. And I love that. That's what Christmas is all about. You just get together with people, and you just, you know, you chat. So you chat with family maybe for a little long. And
have you guys put a checklist together?
No, we were discussing it. We hadn't run it by you. We don't talk before the show, so we thought we had to talk about it on the show.
We would do a show plan on air.
Okay. I mean, it's not going to get down to the list. You know, the guy that pumps gas at your corner, is it?
No, it's going to be our... I mean, it could.
Unless he's got some strong opinions.
Listen,
we're open to hearing.
The guy that pumps gas, the guy at the SO by my place, we have a blood rivalry, so he will not be called.
Oh, really?
What's the problem?
Listen, we don't want to get into it, but... The guy, he's never at the cash. He sees me coming. He doesn't approve the thing. He's always in the fridge. He's a nightmare, and he's always on me. I'm telling you. He knows I'm coming. That's hilarious. Sees me coming, and I'm like, oh, you're behind the till for once. He's like, oh, yeah, buddy. Okay, brother. I'm like, oh, you're dead. I hate you.
Now, I don't think I've had anybody pump gas for me in like 10 years.
New York?
He works behind the cash.
Oh.
But like, as a guy who worked at a gas station for 4 years, you have to approve the...
You worked at a gas station?
I did. I worked at a gas station for a long time when I was a kid.
Really?
Yes. I worked at
a long time since there's been full serve in... I didn't grow up in Ontario.
I didn't full serve. I worked at like Max, where it was like a Shell station in like thing. And I had to press the button to approve for the gas to work. And it's the same technology. I've seen the thing he's got to press. He just doesn't press it. He's never there.
The ESO guys, we should have that ESO guy on for real.
Oh, he'd be like, hey, brother. That's so,
you got fired, apparently?
No, I quit.
Oh, okay.
I went to college.
It's good.
I worked.
That was the job you had before this.
Boys, I've worked a lot of jobs.
You didn't go to college.
I did.
What, 4 years?
Yeah. No, not for 4 years. What are you thinking? Crazy. I didn't go to college for 4 years to do this.
Oh, very nice.
Oh, my gosh. Off the rails.
The Flyers.
Today.
Oh, yeah.
The Flyers are fifth in the NHL in scoring chance differential.
Here we go.
And now we have Keith Jones right
now
as I turn the page to actual hockey.
Now we have Keith Jones. We are so excited because this is a guy that's given the three of us hope that we can get out of this miserable broadcasting world and actually have fun getting a real job with a hockey team. Jonesy, you are our inspiration, man.
You guys are the best, man. I miss doing what you're doing. That was a great time. Great time in my life, but
good things are happening right now, that's for sure.
Okay, so let's just talk a little bit about your year and where you thought you'd be or expectations both on and or off the ice. Just tell us what you've experienced since becoming the president.
Well, it's been great. It's been a lot of fun. It has been invigorating. It's been challenging. And it's been something that I've thoroughly enjoyed. So I would say all of those things have made this job one that's been really an exciting time in my life.
So, Keith, obviously you've known the NHL and continue to know the NHL inside and out. When you're the president, you know, what sort of other things have you had to take on and learn? This is a big challenge, I imagine, beyond the hockey part.
Yeah, it's not as tricky as you would think.
No.
It's surprisingly been kind of felt natural to me. Mm-hmm. A lot of it's managing people. A lot of it's continuing to be a good teammate, even though I guess in some regards some would consider me to be the boss, but it's really not the way that we're doing things here. We have, you know, kind of a collaborative effort of everyone trying to do what's right for the organization, and I'm one part of that. But the business side of it has been, you know, interesting. Obviously very involved in that side of it, but the hockey part is the most important part for us right now. We're trying to get that back on track, and we've had some measure of success so far, and I think fixing the hockey will fix the business side, and that's kind of the way that we've looked at it so far.
Jonesy, before we get into specifics on your team and the job of John Tortorella, can you speak a little bit to, you know, our era where we played in the league and Philly was perceived as this huge top market team and how it sold itself. Like we never really ever thought about the Philadelphia Flyers having to go out there and sell the brand or sell the, you know, in the community, but it's been challenging the last few years. Has it not, in terms of where the Flyers stand in the pecking order? Is it gotten a lot tougher in the last few years to push the Philadelphia Flyers in that market?
No, there's no doubt about it, Kip. There's, you know, the Flyers were a brand. There's no question about that. They have gotten away from that. We're bringing it back slowly. As far as our attendance goes, it's improving marginally. A lot of that has to do with some of the early success that we've had. But this city of Philadelphia is one that's loaded with very good sports teams right now. And a lot of those dollars have gone to the Eagles' recent successful seasons, to the Phillies, you know, being a playoff team over the last few years, to the Sixers being involved in the playoffs for multiple years. Flyers have not been. And when you start to, you know, lose the advantage of selling season tickets through playoff success and playoff rounds, it becomes challenging pretty much in any U.S. city. But for the Flyers, it's been really a big mountain to climb. And we're getting there. We're not there yet. We still have a lot of work to do. Stars do sell. And that was a big reason why we drafted Michkov. Luckily, he fell to us under the circumstances. Not normally you get a superstar with a seventh pick, but that's where we see him. And by the time he arrives, I think we're going to sell that many more tickets just based upon the star power and then having the foundation of a good culture built like we're doing right now.
How is Michkov's development going? How is his season? I haven't followed up on the on the prospects.
Yeah, well, I watch him every chance I get, Maury. That's for sure.
Yeah.
He's doing really well. He has had pneumonia over the last couple of weeks, so he has not played. Didn't participate in the KHL All-Star game, but was a point-per-game player prior to that, playing for Sochi. And he can put on a show. He is a highly talented player that's got, you know, an immense amount of skill and a desire to be great. So we're really looking forward to getting him in the fold. It's probably going to be a couple of years from now, but the anticipation from our fans and really from our front office and our coaching staff. Torts calls him the Mad Russian, so every time he speaks of him. So we can look forward to his arrival, and at the same time continue to develop, you know, our prospects that will be playing in the World Junior Tournament, like Cutter Goche and Oliver Bonk. Chernak is there as well. So we've got some good young players that will be on display there also.
We're talking to Keith Jones, former NHLer, broadcaster, and now president of hockey ops for the Philadelphia Flyers. So, Jonesy, we all know Tortorella from covering him as broadcasters over the years. What did you think you knew about him beforehand, and what have you learned after the fact that you are now working together side by side?
Yeah, no real surprises. I did work with him in television back in the day at TSN when I was first getting started. So I got to know him away from the game, and obviously found him to be a really incredible person, a great guy to talk to, someone that cared about other people. And I've, you know, working this closely with him over the last couple of years, really when you're covering the Flyers, you're part of that team, which I think our broadcasters feel the same way right now. But getting behind the scenes and watching the way that he coaches has been something that I've really appreciated. You get a look inside to the way that he thinks, the way that he handles his players, his willingness to, you know, work with us as far as developing our young players. And he's been really open about that, and he's incredibly honest with his players. So I think the kind of things that I think we all appreciated as players, he is that type of coach with our team, and he's got a room full of guys that he likes. I think that makes it all the better for all of us.
Jonesy, for any team to meet or exceed expectations, there have to be some surprises, some individual performances throughout the season that are positive, pleasant surprises. Who would you single out as individual performances from you guys this season that have really elevated you beyond maybe what public expectations were?
I would say it's our whole group of defensemen.
Yeah.
I think our blue line has been outstanding, and I think Sean Walker's done an incredibly good job and continues to do that. It's not a fluke. This is a very talented and smart hockey player. Good teammate on top of that. He's got a very good and steady partner in Nick Seeler, who's exceeded expectations this year. Travis Sanheim, who, you know, we were in the works of moving in the offseason, has, you know, taken that to heart and came in here and just taken the league on by storm the way that he has played. Cam York's done a great job. Ristolainen's now healthy and available and just coming off a monster performance against Detroit. And Zamula continues to grow as a player, as a young player that we need to develop and continue to have him move forward. With some help from Mark Stahl, the veterans really fit in. So I would say the biggest surprise has been the way that our D has performed and meshed together. And it's not surprising anymore to see them perform well after watching them do it over the first 30 games.
Hey, Jonesy, you mentioned development, and we know your organization is still in this transitional period and how important that is. Is that a conversation that you had to have with Tortorella in terms of, okay, the wins are great this time of year and we love it, but we have to continue to kind of make sure that the young kids are developing? And, you know, some coaches have reputations for not leaning towards young kids. And is that something you constantly had to stay on, or you just trusted Torts to do the right thing as you guys turn this ship around?
You know, he's worked with us basically hand in hand from the start. He has been all in on continuing to develop players like Bobby Brink and Tyson Forrester. Forrester was out there in the last minute of the game in a one-goal game against Detroit. That speaks volumes for a 20-year-old kid playing for a coach like John Tortorella. So there's been no issue with that, Kipper. He's just been on board and continues to, you know, push the envelope with our younger players, putting them in key spots, you know, on any given night. And we couldn't be happier about that. And again, it's not a one-man job here. It's a group of people trying to get things right, and that's been working for us so far.
How do you handicap the Metro Division this year? The Rangers, obviously, a very good team. Capitals kind of right behind you guys. You like your odds of getting in playoffs here? You see yourself in sort of that tier of teams?
That's a great question. I would say probably not.
Yeah,
but we continue to hang around.
Yeah.
You know, it's a very tough division with some teams that have expectations of winning a Stanley Cup this year. We're pretty grounded in our view of, you know, where we are right now. And, you know, I don't consider us a cup contending team. I do think we're going to be a pain. I don't think we're going to be an easy out, whether that means out of the playoff picture or out during the playoffs. But we're going to continue to push, and our players are going to, you know, kind of help us determine where we're at. They've taken it to heart. They like being the underdogs, and they're kind of feeding on that us against the world type mentality. And so far it's worked well for us, but we're playing the Devils tonight. We know they're loaded with talent, some first overall picks, and it's going to be a huge challenge for us.
So when teams like Vancouver, Edmonton, Toronto, call you and say, yeah, what are you doing with Sean Walker and Nick Seeler? You know, what do you tell them?
Can we have one, please?
Can we have one? Just one, please?
You guys are the best. those are the tough questions, and they really are. We are not closing the door on anything. We've been telling everybody we're open for business, and we're going to continue that way, but we have a lot of players that have garnered a lot of interest. And I think when teams that are looking to try to win championships look and see how a team comes together and start to kind of navigate through that team to see which players have been key contributors, we've got some guys that have really done an outstanding job of helping us exceed expectations. And I think they've caught the attention of a lot of teams around the league.
So if you are exceeding expectations at Christmas, is there the temptation, Jonesy, of speeding up the process here? You're currently second in the Metro Division. Not too many people saw it at this point.
Speeding up the process in what way, Nick?
Winning, baby. Making the playoffs. Winning a round.
Oh, no. Yeah, no, we won't change our focus on that. As far as kind of building this thing back, we've got a plan in place, and we're going to stick by it, but there has been some curveballs thrown at us. Can't lie to you in that regard. We've had some players that have really performed extremely well and proven not just to be great teammates, but very effective players. We knew we were building a good room. We weren't sure how far that could take us, but, you know, Torch started that work last year and identifying who he wanted to keep and who he wanted to move, and you know, we helped him in that regard during the off season with some, you know, key additions like Garnet Hathaway and Ryan Poehling have both jumped in there and done an outstanding job for us. But the players have just, they've done the work. They deserve the opportunity to continue to play together and allow, you know, this to unfold. But there's no question in our minds, we know where we are. We know where we want to get to, and there will be some changes along the way.
Have you guys found your cornerstone there in net? Carter Hart, he's a .919 save percentage. His numbers have gotten better four straight years now, at least save percentage wise in the crease for you guys. 26 years old, I believe he's in the last year of his deal. Does this feel like the guy that's going to be a Philadelphia Flyer for a while?
Yeah, I'd be surprised if he's not.
Yeah.
We believe he's a top eight goaltender in the National Hockey League, so they are not easy to find. When you get them, you want to continue to groom them and, you know, allow them to blossom, and he's done all of that this year. With a better team playing in front of him, I think we've all witnessed just how good Carter can be, and, you know, he's been battling a bit of a stomach virus or flu right now, so he won't be with us tonight, but we look forward to him getting back in the mix while Sam Harrison continues to, you know, carry the mail right now, and he's done an incredibly good job. I look forward to watching him get tested tonight by this Devils team.
Jonesy, we so appreciate your time, man. We know you're a real busy guy, and all the best of luck tonight versus New Jersey.
Appreciate it, guys. Catch up soon. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Jonesy.
That is Keith Jones, who stands as the president of hockey operations for the Philadelphia Flyers and doing one hell of a good job.
I gotta tell you, that's one of my favorite interviews we've had in a long time. I was really impressed with that.
He's just...
I love it.
So voice. Good, though.
I just love the sound of his voice. I miss it.
Well,
no, it's true. Like,
yeah.
He was key contributor to our show for the first two seasons. We'd have him on once a month. Like, he was on all the time. He gave us great stories. He's a funny guy. He's excellent
at it. He's just super honest, too. You know, like, I thought really impressed. Like, he mentioned with Sanheim, he's like, he's a guy we were going to move, you know, and Sanheim took that to heart. You know, I asked him, you know, where they are in the division. He says, we don't see ourselves among those good teams. So crazy, but I mean, very realistic and healthy.
Which is, if you're a Flyers fan, you're like, yes, we don't
want
panic.
Not be delusional here.
So I'm just wondering now, as we continue to progress in the National Hockey League and teams from top to bottom start looking more like each other, you know, and less as this personality, does the guy behind the bench become that much more important? I got to be honest with you. I was like many, thought Tortorella was done.
Yeah.
The game's changed.
Yeah.
It's too far removed. And yet this team now reeks of his personality and his character. And I can say the same thing for Rick Tocchet in Vancouver.
It's almost like everyone has so much video. So many analytics and so much video, and they know what every team is going to do before you play them. You ask any coach, they'll tell you the systems of their opponent before you play the game. You all know what each other are going to do, and at some point it just comes down to...
balls.
Best job
ones.
Maybe the best job of the year. Work ethic, timing, heart, hustle, like execution. And so if you have a guy that's grinding your guys, and you get that execution, that might be the difference in today's hockey.
Thank cojones.
Yeah, and I loved what Jonesy, the way he talked about Torts. It's like, yeah, he's really willing to play guys, but he's still himself, right? Like, he's still, like, a hard-nosed guy, but he's playing young
We've
guys.
We've asked him to play the young guys.
And he's doing it.
Yeah.
So
I also love that when given an opportunity, who's been good for you? He talked up the one guy we know they're trading. He immediately was like, Sean Walker, this guy right here. You got to see this guy. I thought that was a business move on his part. I liked it.
And he knows he's on in Toronto.
Yeah.
He knows that people
amazing?
Are talking
Sean
about.
Sean Walker. This guy's going to cost something. You want him?
Cost Sealer? Do they go as a pair?
I don't know.
I don't know much about Sealer.
I feel uninformed. I mean, I know he's fine.
Carter Hart is UFA next year.
I didn't want to grind him about that, but Hart steals up. This is it.
UFA.
UFA.
At the end of this year? Are you sure?
Let me just confirm. He's definitely, his contract's up. Is he maybe not UFA?
I think he might be RFA.
He's got to be.
His contract's up is all I saw. 3.979 is his current deal.
And?
Yeah, he's an RFA when it expires.
RFA.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
All right.
Can you give me the top eight paid goalies? He just signed him. Didn't you hear him?
No,
he
said
he's the top eight. So tell me who the eighth highest paid guy in the NHL is in net.
No, because the top eight highest paid guys are often bums.
They're not the good goalies.
How far does it drop?
The highest paid goalies, 2023, Carey Price, number one, 2.5 to 10.5. Sergei Bobrovsky, Vasilevsky, John Gibson, Matt Murray. 6.4 for Matt Murray.
6.4.
Connor Hellebuck, 6. This is from last year, so he just got paid eight. What? He got paid eight something.
Eight, right?
8.5.
Bennington.
Maybe eight.
Bennington 6. Markstrom 6.
So
Grubauer 5.9. Shesterkin 5.6. What a deal that is!
He's on a bridge though.
Yeah.
If you could give me Carter Hart 5x6 or something.
No, he'd probably work his way up towards. Hellebuck's numbers. If he can keep his 920.
Yeah, he was like an 878, then a 905, then a 917, now a 919, 96.
The one contract, I'm just scrolling down here, the one that we kind of not made fun of but balked at when it was signed was that Allmark deal, and that's just such a great deal now.
Oh, God, yeah.
But everybody expected
Purposalo money.
Allmark to be, where'd he come from, Buffalo?
Buffalo,
yeah,
everybody expected Allmark Buffalo at that.
Yeah, you get to play behind Boston's defense.
But he's been really good. Did he win Vezina last year? Ulmerich?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like for $5 million, that's really good value.
Yeah. So, certainly is that.
All right, Sam.
Game time?
By the way, JB did a terrific job on Game Time.
Oh, yeah.
Yesterday.
No, that wasn't yesterday. That was on Thursday. Friday.
Friday. What day is it today?
No idea. It's all Tuesday?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Sorry, I had a Christmas lunch, remember?
Fair enough. Not taking your job anytime soon.
Oh, my God. It's Game Time.
It's Game Time.
It's Game Time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app, the latest odds, and find out why it's never ordinary. Bet365 must be 19 plus, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. Now, we got a lot of games tonight, boys. Mm-hmm. A lot of games.
Are you going to give me that wild one?
Do you want Swoo's pick of the week?
Swoo?
Yeah, my buddy Ron.
Ronnie Swoo?
He texted me a parlay. Okay. A same game parlay for the Toronto Maple Leafs. That is a 30-1 shot.
30, by the way, people, is that $10 win 300.
Yes. Tavares, one assist. Mika Zibanejad, 1 point. Mitch Marner, 1 point. And Morgan Riley with 4 block shots pays 30-1. So there's Ron's pick of the week.
There's two things I don't like about it.
That it's not a point for Tavares and that it's 4-plus shots blocked for Morgan Riley.
Tavares, if that was a assist, is
not. We could change it to a point and see what it is. But, yeah, there you go.
And how many
four shots? That's too many blocks.
What would Morgan average on block shots?
I can tell you because I looked into this. It's 2.2 blocks per game.
Yeah, he's not coming up with 4.
Last game against the Penguins, he had 4 block shots.
It's not impossible, but it's unlikely. So can we tease it to 3?
That's why it's 30-1.
Can we tease it, though? Cowards parlay this thing.
If you take it down to 3 shot blocks, it takes it from 30-1 to 12-1. So they
that winning extra, 12-1 bet than a losing 30-1 bet.
That's extra, the big one right there.
That extra 1 block
that they know isn't going to happen.
Well, there you go. But the other ones that I like tonight, we just had Jonesy. You know, he just made me feel great about this, and I wasn't going to do it.
Good guy vibe pick.
Good guy vibe pick. Give me the Flyers, the big underdog tonight, plus 135 in New Jersey. New Jersey's goaltending's been suspect. I know they're going with their backup too because of Carter Hart not feeling well. But give me that one. And what else do I like today? The Tampa Bay Lightning.
The Ottawa? They got a new coach tonight.
Oh, yeah, right.
The Ottawa Senators with Jacques Martin.
They are a large favorite. They're a favorite against the Arizona Coyotes, who pretty sure you're like, Arizona stink. They're in a playoff spot, and Ottawa is dead last.
No. The West isn't real, and Ottawa hasn't played any
games. Does Ottawa take the personality of Jacques Martin like the Philadelphia Flyers have with Tortorella? And
what's that personality?
Eating Werther's and taking your dog for a walk. I don't know what
watching Matlock.
I don't know.
I think structured and defensive was a thing, right?
Are they shopping hard for another guy or now?
Like head coach?
Yes. It
doesn't seem like it.
This is just take it to the end of the year.
Right, let's save this conversation
there's a lot of games left.
And the last one I have here that jumped out to me as I'm looking, the Vegas Golden Knights are a pretty big underdog tonight in Carolina. So, you know, whenever you get Vegas as a plus 110, I think it's something you can look at. So give me the Vegas Golden Knights as plus 110 tonight in Carolina. And that was Game Time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for the latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus, Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
Okay, as Sammy teed up, we will get more into the Ottawa Senators and Jacques Martin as he starts his tenure once again with the Ottawa Senators. Also, in our first hour, we had a conversation on John Tavares and Hall of Famer or not.
Mm-hmm.
When we come after break, we're going to go through a list of 1,000 points and who isn't in the Hall of Fame, and you're going to tell me yes or no if they get in.
Love it.
Okay, are you doing the work on that one? Or?
No, I'm going for a coffee, and you're going to collect all the names.
Okay, I'm on it.
Sammy McKee with the list after these words.
Teeing up the biggest games of the night, it's the Fan Pregame with Ailish Forfar and Justin Cuthbert.
Weekdays at 6 p.m. on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, 11 games on tap tonight, including the Ottawa Senators at Arizona. Are we allowed to give Arizona any love at all, or not until they're out of that college building?
No, you're not allowed to. They're in Mullet Arena. Sorry.
They are in a playoff spot.
But they are kind
good for
of
them.
No.
They're
frisky.
Unfun to watch.
Wouldn't know.
Clayton Keller is really good.
Clayton Keller and Schmaltz are both really effective players.
Really good.
It's honestly, I feel bad for those guys, and I make light of it. I respect the fans there. The players can't do anything about it. They're playing their hearts out, doing great. I don't watch it.
Clayton Keller also a plus handicap, I think.
Yeah, well, I live in Arizona and miss the playoffs every year.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, you should be on the tour.
Well, he is minus 13 this year, so that's right.
Oh, we got jokes.
Oh, my God. You don't get rid of DJ Smith if you think you don't have a chance to get back in the playoff picture.
Well, I believe.
Or you're hoping.
I believe it's like a fan thing that you can't lose the fans. The fans are sick of, you know, falling short of recent expectations, and I think this team is better. So I don't know if they believe they can make playoffs, but I sure think they would like to make a push and keep fans engaged and win some games here. Because I do think this team is way better than where they are in the standings right now. December, Christmas time, and they're dead last in the conference. So way better.
Yeah,
I still think Patrick Waugh should go there, and it would just make the whole league that much more enjoyable to watch.
A wise man, that would be you, once told me, this is entertainment at the end of the day.
Well, it's more than entertainment. It just makes
our
it,
job was entertainment.
Oh, we'll get the entertainment out of him for sure, right. But he can sell tickets in Ottawa, and that's important.
And, I mean, he just coached a team to a Memorial Cup win, right?
Was that last year?
It was two years ago?
Yeah, it was at some point.
He won a Memorial Cup.
Yeah.
On top of being an NHL Hall of Famer and having NHL coaching experience, yeah, he's a no-brainer for someone to get back in the league. You know what? I had people saying, I want him in Toronto. I was like, relax.
Well, that was a conversation in the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
To me, like,
before they extended.
Yeah, it was. I remember talking about Sheldon. Patrick Waugh potentially being, I was like, I don't know.
The problem
I don't feel right.
No, but he's also like, you know, he's oxygen to a flame. Like this is the place where you need someone who can
manage him. Manage him.
Yeah.
And work with him.
Keith
Jones, we just heard from Keith Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And there might not be a more perfect guy to have daily conversations with John Tortorella.
Than Keith Jones.
Yes.
Yeah. Someone to kind of keep him.
Jonesy's got like social IQ, mm-hmm. like really good emotional IQ, where he can work around a guy like Tortorella.
Who's a little bit
and
more
I'm not
explosive.
Sure a lot of guys have that in our league in certain positions with certain teams. Mm. But I think you got to have a very special ownership and management group to welcome in Patrick Waugh.
Is Steve Staios that?
I like Steve a lot.
Yeah.
I do. And I think, yeah, but you're going to have to embrace that. You're going to have to embrace the fact that this guy, on most occasions, can come across a little bigger than life.
Yeah, but you're Ottawa. Like, you know, I don't mean that disrespectfully. That's great, though. Yeah. Like, you're trying to sell tickets. You're based out of Canada. You're trying to get a new rink. Attention and energy would be great.
Little chaos. Never heard anything.
Let's go. Yeah. Like, be in the storyline.
You know, and I don't know Stephen well enough to say if he micromanages.
Mm-hmm.
And Patrick's not a guy that you come in there and say, hey, listen, I really think you should play this guy. And, like,
that's probably the concern is
not
that
gonna work.
You have just bought a team,
yeah.
made Staios kind of the guy to run it, and Waugh seems like a guy, wasn't part of the reason he was ousted in Colorado was that he wanted coach GM. He wanted all the power.
Yeah. Well, I can't really recall, but you're absolutely right.
So it would be hard to tell him anything.
There was a struggle power.
Yeah.
A struggle of
power. Struggle.
Power, yeah. for sure.
But
he's
used to being the owner, GM, coach, everything. He sells
it's just
tickets.
Crazy
he does
to
everything.
Buy a team
for
that hand it to Patrick and say, "Hope it goes well." You know, that's crazy. It's just
The information that I had,
better than mine,
was that Patrick was ready to just come in and coach.
Just coach. Now we're talking.
Yeah,
I heard some things.
And, you know, the other thing, too, and it's just not Steve Staios, but Michael Andlauer now is a very hands-on owner, which, again, I don't know. If we went through 32 teams,
You love it?
There might be 15, 20 teams. We don't have a clue who their owner is. He doesn't have press conferences. He doesn't go to the media. He doesn't have relationships with beat reporters. You know, Michael's owner, decision maker, you know, from top to bottom. He owns the team.
Yeah, man.
So
go
he's
be Jerry Jones.
100% hands-on. So between him and Stajos and a big guy like Patrick Waugh, not sure it could work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there is no shortage of options. Me personally, I have heard Steve Stajos and Michael Andlauer saying they're trying to calm things down. They want to get out of the, they don't want to be negative stories, whatever. There are other coaches you can hire that might be calmer. But I do think that if you want to sell tickets still.
Listen, they tried calm and stability, but the record didn't allow it.
Yeah.
But now they're going more calm. Stability.
Oh, yeah. They're calm as an afternoon nap.
Yeah. Until Jacques 0 for 3.
Yeah, then what?
And then we'll see.
Do you think, you don't.
At least that door's open now to hire someone.
I don't
want another fresh start.
Slag on him, but they're really gonna be the guy that kicks down the door and wakes the fellas up.
Yeah,
that's what this team needs.
Simmons is old. He can't go home because he hates his wife. Remember that?
Yeah. What was that in?
Liar, liar.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway,
it's a line I get stuck.
Who referenced that to us the other day?
Simmons is old.
I just don't know if that's the solution. Is being like, these guys need to be fired up. Here's Jacques Martin.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know. I feel like now would be the time to call right away.
It's way tougher to hold these kids' attention span than it was 10 or 20 years ago.
Having Alfie there probably helps a little bit. You know, he could be the Paul Coffey on Ottawa's bench, right? Same kind of idea there. Here's a proven dude.
So what he's trying to say, guys, is that's Alfie's role now in the dressing room.
Yes, you go fire things up, Alfie.
Yeah.
So Alfie putting on his skates on the bench today, wearing a helmet out there for practice.
Hey, all right.
I wanted to challenge you to some math, Kipper.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Just have a random math contest?
Take my shoes and socks off?
Well, it was just with Sid, he moved into 13th place last night, all time.
Okay.
Scored the game-winning goal.
13th all time already, hey? Yeah. Wow.
So, of course, that got me looking to the NHL records page. And he now is at 1535. And he is now
13th, you said?
He's in 13th. Yeah, just past Mark Recchi last night.
Yes.
So he is 4 points behind Joe Thornton.
Yeah.
So he'll get there this year. And then he's 40.
Top five. He can get to top five.
You think he's going to get top five?
Gosh, that's a big gap. What's he would need another
200? I didn't even look at the list.
He would need 250 more points, roughly.
So, Ron Francis is fifth all-time with 1,798 points.
He's going to play for another 2.5 seasons?
Yeah, it might get slightly worse 80, as he gets older.
85 points, 80 points. Point a game?
Yeah. I just, it's remarkable looking at the names that are left in front of him and talking about him not being like a with his accolades, we talk about everything that he's won. To me, he's a top five guy.
You think he's a Hall of Famer?
They got to waive the thing for him. But to me, he's in the, conversation with the all-time greats.
Oh, he's already there.
I know.
But he packed it up at the end of this season.
As a younger guy, I'm not as young as I'd like to think I am, but at some point, everyone's like, oh, you can't put him up there with, or you can't put him up there with how. It's like, well, for me, you can. For me, he is in that conversation. He is this generation's by far greatest player, and he has moved himself into the conversation as one of the all-time greats.
When you look at the guys who are in the top 10 in points, look at the guys ahead of him. Thornton has played 500 more games than Sid. Ron Francis was 1,700 games. Yeah. Howe was 1,700. Messier, 1,700. Jágr, 1,700. Sid's at 1,220.
Wow. What did he miss, a year and a half?
Yeah.
Yeah.
To concussion?
And, there may be another 300 games left in his career or something, whatever the number is. So there's lots to go. And then I agree, at that point, it's probably you think he'll ever wear another jersey, a non-Penguins jersey?
Yeah.
I don't know. We watched them on the weekend, and it just, I felt bad for Sid Saturday night. Was, I think, one of his worst shellackings.
But that was one of the most embarrassing performances from a team. Their dad's weekend, Saturday night, hockey night in Canada, Dubas's return, and didn't.
No,
that's a drop.
Well, I was going to say that. I wasn't sure if I was allowed to say that. That is the expression I was looking for.
Maybe
though.
Not.
So do
we'll
you,
find out.
So do you think you'll ever, because I think we've had this conversation before. I can't remember what your thoughts are, but do you think you'll play on another team?
No.
No?
No.
I don't either.
So he'd sign another contract there and just be done?
He's on the Mario Lemieux track. He's going to start and finish a Pittsburgh Penguin.
And there's no team that could tempt him, you don't think?
Yeah, I don't know.
By the way, Sid is 200 points behind Mario, 220.
That's just a guess, but I don't think so. I think he's got his cups. He's got his awards. He's a Penguin.
Yeah.
And then it's
just tough to envision such a competitor just being on a bad team in his later years, like willingly Getz laughing it up.
Like
no disrespect to Getzlaff, but there was a choice he made for his family and his. Yeah.
Like, what is another cup on Colorado do for him?
I mean, I think he's already, like I said, I think he's already an all-time great. So
like he's
maybe nothing.
He the only thing he should be thinking about is, when do I stop having fun doing this? Mm-hmm. And when do I start working with the Fenway group and help run the team if that's what I choose?
Yeah.
Because that's the next move, is he gets to write his own ticket with the Fenway group.
Think so?
You go get $7 million a year like Kyle to do it?
Be president, GM, hockey ops, head scout. Do it all.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, where's Kyle in the organization in 3 or 4 years, right?
Running.
He's got a 7-year deal.
Maybe not. I don't know.
No, he's going to be running it. They clearly brought him in because they see the finish line for this, and they think that he's...
Where's the finish line?
I mean, bad. Bad finish line. Where it's like at some point, well, I guess they just gave Malkin...
It's bad.
Listen,
it's really bad.
They just gave Malkin and Letang really long contracts, so maybe I'm wrong.
He got...
Was that pre-Dubas?
Dubas got seven years.
Wasn't Dubas.
It's the standard 5 years, but Fenway wanted 2 years for Sid. That's how he came to 7 years. So it's for 2 years that I'm gonna work on helping Sid maybe try to win another Stanley Cup. But after that,
the rebuild years.
It's the rebuild years. But you don't know in 2 years what's Kyle leaving himself to rebuild that in 5 years.
Right. He's going to spend to stay competitive with those guys. And God, that Carlson contract on there looks so tough.
It could get ugly for him there too. Yeah. Right? He could leave the cupboards as bare as the Leafs are right now.
Yeah. I guess he just took the money because it's so much money, but it's an impossible.
What does Carlson have left? $10 million?
4 years or 10
next
million.
Year he makes $10 million as well, then the next year. So till 27. But also, like, Ryan Graves makes $4.5 million till 30.
And
Ricard Raquel makes $5 million till 28.
How about Letang?
Letang makes where's he at? $6.1 million till 28.
Malkin
has 3 more this season and 2 more at $6.1 million. And they got a lot of money.
He took over a really hard job.
Yeah. I agree.
Like, it's an impossible job because you're either the guy that continues to feed into this beast that's just not, the car's not going to restart.
Imagine
here.
If they're bad for the next month and he just decides this year we're not in it and he just starts selling.
I mean, I don't think, I don't know.
But Pittsburgh right now, they rot.
Yeah, they're no good.
Bad. Maybe they can get better. They can turn it around. They can get some better goaltending. Things can go better for them. But I have watched them play 3 straight hockey games. I know they won last night, and I just don't see it.
All right, before we start throwing some names out here, just a mention of Markstrom coming back for Calgary and having a pretty impressive win over the Florida Panthers last night.
Good win.
It was a really good win. And Calgary's like...
Can't quit them.
Can't. Like, the whole league's waiting for them to ship a few defensemen out, and they're not in any hurry, apparently.
I remember I tweeted, like, their schedule till Christmas was like a murderer's row. They had this awful schedule, and it has been super hard, but they're 4-4-2 in their last 10, kind of humming along. They've won 2 in a row. if they get through this, they'll have a pretty soft schedule the rest of the way. You never know. Yeah. Maybe the Flames aren't done.
I think you're going to have to start
one point out of a wild card spot right now.
I think if you're Brad Treliving, I think you're going to be calling old Keith Jones before you're calling Craig Conroy.
I know we do the Leafs hour. Sean Walker, I've mentioned this to you before. Good player, 5'11". I'm just saying, for what the Leafs need, I don't know if that's your answer.
No, yeah, it's a valid point.
I'd prefer a brute.
Yeah,
of some kind.
I think most people
guys are, there are
or top
six
guys.
To eight teams like want a defenseman so badly. Like you're in an arms race right now.
A pretty decent team could just decide we're not it this year. And just start selling off assets and make, you know, get a haul back.
Like, what about Washington?
What if the Preds decided you could have Saros and Yossi right now?
Oh, my God. Well, I don't think they'd trade Rose. They'd trade their captain.
Maybe they should.
There's who could take those contracts?
Most people who
and you're not doing it to send back Tavares and Morgan Riley.
Saros is way more doable. Like, what's he at, five?
Is not a lot of money, five and a half or something.
But he needs a new ticket.
Yeah, but if you're a contending team who needs a goalie, like, you know, I don't know, maybe the Toronto Maple Leafs, maybe the Edmonton Oilers, the LA Kings, you could send back some contracts to make that work, and you look at it as this year and next with him, and then you worry about it later, right?
Yeah. Yossi's $9 million till 28.
Really?
Could you get him to eat three of that?
Probably not. Pretty good. So what did you want to do with these names?
Well, in our first hour, we talked about John Tavares setting himself up for 1,000 point. Tonight, he'll be honored by the Toronto Maple Leafs, which is great. But it got us thinking about others who have 1,000 points, who are on the outside looking in towards the Hockey Hall of Fame. And I'm just going to throw out some names for you.
Okay.
And while we could still debate whether or not John Tavares presently is in a situation where he can get in or not, there's others who are still waiting, like Ryan Getzlaf, 1,157 games, 1,019 points.
He's in. He makes my Hall of Fame.
He's in.
Why is he in?
Cop.
All right.
1,100 points.
It's funny, we did the whole show about like team success mattering. It was like Olympic gold, Stanley Cup.
Yeah, it matters.
Ton of points.
It matters.
Dominant player. One of the best players in the league. Did he win a heart? No.
No.
He was in the
stall. 1,300.
That's the same.
And 65 games.
Him and Getzlaf have such a same argument.
1,063. Same guy?
Well, didn't they both win the cup in their rookie year? Wasn't Stahl a rookie year?
Yeah, that was early.
Yeah, it was really early. Same with Getzlaf. Like, they won the cup so early in their career. I'd say
The other one's in.
I think they're both in, yeah.
Not much debate for Patrice Bergeron or Joe Thornton.
Lock.
Patrick Marleau's numbers in the regular season are too great to be ignored.
Yeah, longevity.
Patrick,
those guys must have had a lot of playoff games too, him and Thornton.
Yeah, oh yeah.
As much as they didn't win a cup, they must have.
Patrick Elias. Great career with New Jersey, Stanley Cups, 1,240 games.
I like that one because it was a different time. Like the way the game looked, and he was a player of that era, right? Like he defended and...
He was a good player.
He was a really good all-around
guy. My buddy...
I feared him big time as a Leaf fan when they played
him. My buddy Alex Kovalev.
You know...
13,
softest hands ever. Softest hands ever.
What's that? Sorry, give me the numbers again.
1,300 games played. 1,316. And 1,029 points. The Stanley Cup with the New York Rangers, but... Was he a frontline guy? Did he lead the charge?
He's not going to do it for me. You know, and that I know you played with him, so it's probably not a popular take.
From a talent point of view, he's there, but I don't know if he set himself up for being perceived as a frontline guy.
Rightly or wrongly, I think there's something to be said that the hockey community doesn't love the idea that they feel like you left something on the table.
Nick Backstrom?
Yeah, I like Nick Backstrom.
No.
But not enough. Just one Stanley Cup in one year.
I never felt like he was one of the five best players in the league. Like, if you're in the Hall of Fame,
he's Ray Whitney.
Same thing for me. Like, never one of those guys where he's like, that guy was dominant.
Jeremy Roenick should be in, boys.
Yeah,
the numbers are just too good. Yeah. Brenda Moore should be in.
Yep.
McGillney didn't even reach 1,000 games.
Like Verbeek?
I like Verbeek, too. 1,400 games.
Our Hall of Fame's getting big here, wasn't it? They're in.
Okay, enjoy your games tonight. We're back again tomorrow on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show.